welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Right, did you also get one of these as well? It's the December one. Okay, well, if you open up your December bulletin, you can start the recording if you haven't, because this is actually part of it. On the left-hand side, it says, "Welcome, it's great to see you." And that's true. Is anybody here, and it's one around your first time this morning, we really want to welcome you. You've got Peter and Anne here down on the front row, and hopefully they'll pass to you a little card, which we can get your details down, so we've got a chance of getting to know you a bit better. But I just want to say again, at this point, you are really, really welcome. Amen? Now, a little bit further down in bold, it says, "When you gather for worship, each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight." And that's 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says 2 there, but it's 1 Corinthians 14:26. I think God's been speaking to us about this one. It's this whole thing of open house. First of all, sort of God snuck it in with opening our houses up to one another. Then he sort of developed that into houses as well that are like specific open houses where people gather during the week. Although that hasn't really been released yet, there's touches of that happening. Jimmy and Jennifer have been sort of trialing that as well. And obviously we've got the life group in Scarborough, but all these things, each time it's like, what is God saying to us now? Peter and Anne are looking to do something down in Humminbee, but we want to see this develop. What is the sort of fresh message of how this is going to go? We know that this key passage really comes in the NIV, it puts it slightly differently, and what went on did I wrote out a different version here this morning. Let me see. "Then what is the right course, brothers? Whenever you meet, each of you has something to contribute. A song, a piece of teaching, some special information God has given him, a message in an unknown language, or an explanation of what it means." And there's this constant one another, one another, one another. If you go back a few weeks, do you remember one of the words that God brought was the one another message? And it was only this morning, really, I began to see it was all the same thing. At that point, I don't think I'd really noticed that it was. And Paul emphasizes, why do you do this? And the key word, he says, let all these things be done for the edification. Now, that's a big word. It simply means building up. It's the building up of the body. And it's very interesting, you get into the word, there's so much about us building one another up and encouraging one another. So I just want to give you, in sort of the 12 minutes that I've got, but that's right this morning. What's happened up till now is right. It's not that the word's got squashed out, it's what God wanted to do this morning. Yeah? Okay, so we're just going to run through. Now, if you've got a notebook, I would recommend you take a notes of this, because I'm giving it some practical stuff for when we do open house, and we're all going to be involved in open house. Okay? So number one, I've got about 19 of these, but I think we'll do about 2 this morning. Number one is encourage, edify. Encourage, challenge, admonish, and uplift. And if I go to Romans 15, verse 21, or you can go there too. No, verse 14, beg your pardon. "I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another." Now that's interesting. He's writing to the Romans. The Romans were mostly illiterate. They certainly didn't have any Bibles. And in Rome itself, 2/3 of the population were slaves. So a lot of them would have been slaves. And yet Paul writes to these people, young Christians, a lot of them, "I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge." How can they be complete in knowledge? Have they been to Lamplu and done all 4 of the Where the Spirit courses? Have they been down to Roffey for 4.5 years? Roffey's our Bible college in Horsham. No. They hadn't had that opportunity. The only sense in which they're complete in all knowledge is the same way in which we're complete in knowledge. And that is, the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit is present with us at all times. So the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit and we can speak it to one another. So we instruct one another. You see, Martin Luther, who brought about the Protestant Reformation, he taught about the priesthood of all believers. Now, in medieval times, the only ones who were allowed to do the teaching were the priests. It was forbidden for others to instruct or teach. Martin Luther saw that that was wrong in one of all the things that he nailed up on the door and caused the Protestant Reformation. But actually, in his lifetime, he got very frustrated and reverted back to having set teachers. Because he found that he just didn't have believers who were capable of doing it. Well, that's not true. Look around this room. All you need are believers. You can be born again one day and you are complete in knowledge, in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Yes, your brain will acquire more and you understand more and you need to get into the Word. But actually the Lord says you are complete in knowledge. As you do this, I'll just reveal to you what I've already placed within you. And which is why then in a meeting or a time when you're with friends, you might get something from God, something from the Word or something from the Scripture, which you can teach on because it was all there, complete, and God just gives you a revelation. Now, I'm not talking about everybody getting up and talking for 40 minutes. That would be incredibly boring. Right? We're talking about just 3 or 4 minutes where somebody just instructs one another on that. And we get back to what Martin Luther actually saw, that the Word of God says we're to instruct one another. He just gave up. But I see no reason to give up with this group. Are we going to go for that?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean getting bossy with one another. It doesn't mean bringing the word of rebuke for one another. Because if you remember, Paul's put it in the context of edification and building up and encouraging. All right, so that's an important point in this: encourage and challenge and admonish and uplift. Now, everybody in the Holy Spirit can exhort, that's encourage with a little bit of oomph, stimulate, needle, and encourage one another. The Holy Spirit is going to use that way to move us forward. We're so used to what moves us forward is the priest preaching on a Sunday and giving us the word. That will be part of what God is doing. But also, he's going to use everybody in this body. He's going to be speaking to all of us. This is what we are to do. Remember, I've said it to you many times before, that Sunday mornings, if you're getting in with God, will just confirm what God is saying to you. It may give clarification, it may give a little bit of direction, but basically it should confirm what God is saying to you. Because we're not called to be little toddlers who just get spoon-fed. We're actually called to feed ourselves, to get into the Word of God ourselves, to pray ourselves, to hear God ourselves, to get vision for what God has called us to do ourselves. Now, as part of this church, that fits in with the vision of this church. Yeah, which is why it's important we know that we want to dare to dream. We dream of a church where people come, are saved, are set free, where alcoholics get off alcohol, where drug addicts are set free from drugs, where families where there's been abuse get set free, where marriages get restored. All those things that we've discussed before, all part of the vision, all that God wants to do, God wants to say, and this is John's part in it.
Yeah,
right. Amen?
Right.
And you'll find, and that's what God's going to do. Not... He speaks to Paul, and Paul comes along and says, right, Kate, I'd like you to do this, please. Those days are over. Okay? Or it's not that I would never do that anymore, but much more, Kate will come to me and say, I think God's telling me to do this. That's a much more healthy body.
Yeah.
All right? It's little kids that have to be told what to do. They have to have their nappies changed. God doesn't want your nappies to be changed. God wants you to be able to process the word yourself. Amen? This is a good imagery. We'll leave that one alone. Now, praise God. Now, life groups. Everybody here is probably used to life groups or home groups or cell groups. But, and everybody here has probably experienced them being boring and they don't really want to go. Yeah, if you have never experienced that, you are blessed beyond everything. But most people at some time have experienced that. Now, why do they get like that? Because they are exactly what God calls us to do, and when they're working, they're brilliant. I mean, we're calling them open house just to give an extra emphasis, but basically it's people meeting in their homes. Do you know the main reason why groups like that go wrong is because, or they collapse, it's because of the failure of the people in that group to bring something. They come wanting the leader to give them something, or they come to a meeting. That kills them. Yeah? Even if you've got the greatest of needs, you know, there's something going wrong in your family, you bring the need. And you share the need, and the body get round and pray for you. And you bring thanksgiving. Amen. So this number one is all encourage, challenge, admonish, uplift. We've all got to bring something. Now, if I asked Claire to preach next Sunday, I can guarantee you next Sunday morning, she gets up a bit earlier. Okay? If I said to Nigel, lead on Sunday morning, Nigel's going to make sure he's got the word from God. Well, he'll stand up here, try and do it in his own strength and look a right twit. All right? Nobody wants to look a right twit. I don't want to look a right twit. I make sure. The one morning I make sure I want to be up with God is Sunday morning. You don't lie in on a Sunday, you know. Okay? You want to have got the word from God. But actually, that's what we're all going to be like coming to whatever meeting. We think, right, what have I got? What has God given me to contribute to this meeting? It might not be up the front here in this meeting. It might be just sharing with one another in the congregation. As David seeks the Lord this morning, he might get a word for Margaret. And when he gets here on a Sunday, you go and say, you know, God said this to me about you. Or it might be somebody coming forward to saying, this happened to me this week. This was fantastic. This happened, and they share a bit of testimony, to put the Christian word on it. Just a story. Or like Steve, the other week, he gave sort of a story of God's glory and a story of struggle. And we got round him and prayed. But how much stronger and better is that going to be when we're in the small groups? And you say, well, when are we going to start the small groups? Well, when God says. He hasn't said yet. I think he's waiting until you're so desperate for this open house to start. He's saying, come on, it's got to start. And I don't think you're hungry yet. Because if we started it yet, some of you would say, oh, I'm not sure I want to do another evening. And yet God is saying to you, this open house, this meeting in small houses is what is the answer to what you've been praying for years. And the concept that you've got of meeting in homes, just chuck it out the window and listen to what I am saying now. It is where the growth is going to be. It is where the miracles are going to happen. Yeah. Yes. It is where you instruct one another rather than be dominated by a leader. That's right. The leadership's important. I'm still in charge. I'm still the boss. But this is much more of the whole body coming alive. Yes? Look at Hebrews 10, one of my favourite passages, Hebrews 10:19. We're even going to twist that a little bit today, one of my favourite passages, in a way that I've never, ever looked at it before. What's the time? Oh, goodness me. Right. We don't need a long word this morning, because if we take this and just do this bit, it will be bringing the revival that God is promising. Really. It's following up the one another's very practically. We can't hide in our homes and just come to a purple palace and think we're doing what God wants us. He's breaking us out of where we've been before. But it's only to give us what we've always wanted. We've just not always understood that this is the way it's going to work. Anyway, we'll start with something that as Kingdom Faith, we'll all go yes and amen and praise God, this is where we're at. Because if we start at Hebrews 10:19... I preached on this a little while ago, do you remember? Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. Now, we know that passage probably really, really well. It's highlighted in about 15 colours in my Bible here, and underlined, and notes written around the edge of the Bible. Because it's so key, especially in Kingdom Faith, where we know what God has taught us about meeting with him in worship, don't we? We experienced in the worship today a glimpse of the glory of God and what he does in this passage. The curtain that it's talking about was the curtain in the old temple, which was ripped in two, which went through into the Holy of Holies in the old Jewish tabernacle, where the priest could only go once a year. And what was demonstrated when Jesus died, when that curtain was torn in two, was it was now, the way was now open for us all. We know all that. Yeah? If you don't, you do now. But look at what happens straight away. What the next line the writer puts in is, and let us consider how we must spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It's like, in the glory of God, in the Holy of Holies, in with the glory of God manifest, and he doesn't say, focus on Jesus, focus on the Lord, give your heart to the Lord, confess your sin. He says, right, now you're in God's presence, encourage one another. It's just, we don't think like that. I don't know, did you? I feel like this. I have never thought like that.
Seems that Donna actually got that on the 30th of March.
Hey, he's getting the word from God before he hears it preached. But then look, it gets even more mind paradigmy shifty thingy. Okay? Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Okay, we got that phrase, and you've heard that trotted out to encourage everybody to get along to life group. Let us not give up meeting together, because that's what it says in the Word. You know? But this morning, God suddenly said to me, will you look at what the opposite of not meeting is? Alright? Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But he doesn't say, so therefore let us attend the meetings, which you'd think would be the opposite. He actually says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. The opposite of not going to a meeting is to encourage one another. In other words, the meeting is for one another. It's to encourage one another. It's to love one another. It's to instruct one another. I just thought that was really interesting this morning. I've never seen that. The opposite of not go is actually encourage, not just attend. The Bible doesn't envisage meetings where you just attend. Yeah? The Bible sees meetings where everybody's working. Everybody's doing something. Everybody's hearing from God. Everybody's got something. Everybody is value. And we can say this till we're blue in the face, but now we've actually got to try and live it. Yeah, and we can't live it by sitting in a chair and thinking, I wonder when someone's going to ask me to do something. We've just got to start doing things. Yeah? Until, for example, this is just a little example, you can't move in this place at 9:30 because there's so many people here helping set up. Just as an example. Because everybody's desiring to give into it. Whether it's setting up the children's work, setting up teas and coffees, setting up carrying in all the worship stuff, whatever it is. Oh, I want to be there. I'm part of this. Being part of the host team. But then, the danger of that is when I'm just focusing on Sunday morning and God is talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And this encourage one another is not about Sunday morning alone. In fact, Sunday morning is just 1/7. Well, I suppose that's just one morning, isn't it? Well, if we divide the day into thirds, it's 1/21st of the week. 1/21st is all Sunday morning is. Amen. Okay, I'm going to finish in a minute. So the purpose of the meeting is, the opposite of not to go is to attend, but encourage one another. So the purpose of the meeting is to encourage one another. So you're going with an attitude of, what can I bring to my family this week? What have I got to share with my friends this week? Not what's going to happen in the group. What am I going to share with my friends? I wrote this down. I don't know where I got it from. Revival is waiting for God to show up and do the miraculous. But God is waiting for us to show up and do the obvious. Amen. I quite like that expression. Shall I read that one again? We've been waiting for revival, and revival is waiting for God to show up and do the miraculous. But God is waiting for us to show up and do the obvious. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Well, I've only done one, but I'm going to stop there. The next one's talk, so I better stop. But if we just start with that encourage, challenge, admonish, uplift, instruct one another, coming to the meeting with something, that even just that one will transform us we are as a church, because we begin to value one another in the priesthood of all believers. Yeah? I think actually perhaps we should just look at that as to finish, because that is I think it's 1 Peter 2:9, because I keep quoting it and then not actually going there. This is one of those times when you hope you've got it right. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen. Remember, we'll pick up there again next week. Why has God made you a priest? That you may declare his praises. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
As you were speaking, I was just thinking, you know, when we go anywhere, we're invited to somebody's house, we all say, is there anything I can bring? You're doing it.
Yeah.
Or drink.
That's good. I like that. Could you hear that over that sign? Arlene was just saying that when you go around somebody's house, sort of in the natural sense, usually one of your first questions is there anything I can bring? And we just need to think like that in the spirit. Not to ask the person who's running the meeting, is there anything you can bring? But ask the Lord, is there anything I can bring? And the answer will always be yes. Amen? Whether you've been saved 30 seconds or 30 years, you've got something to bring to the body. Amen? The times are changing. It's a whole mindset change of getting away from Sunday mornings being sort of like almost a God that's exalted. Sunday mornings is just the body coming together in a bigger group. Amen? And mostly we come to Sunday mornings really to give. You know, we used to go to Sunday mornings just to get. And God wants to turn that around and say, come to give. Give to one another. Give to the people who are visiting. Make it accessible to people. That kind of thing. And that's what we've got to work on. That's why on the back of that, our welcome card, it says, "Is there?" I can't remember the exact question, but it's along the lines of, is there any way we could have made this better for you this morning? It's that kind of thing. Because we want to find out how people are receiving it. You know? I mean, some will find us weird and we won't be able to get away from that because we are a bit, really. But hopefully they'll at least find us friendly and intelligible. Yeah, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.